Romans 10, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 15. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is God's word to us this morning. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to pay the most careful attention today to what we hear from you so that we do not drift away. Help us to see there's nothing more important than listening to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your Bible open at Romans 10. Now, not that long ago, the Euros were on. Weren't they? Remember the Euros? I know there's one or two football fans. I believe that England got to the final. Yes? And maybe even lost on penalties to Italy. Yes? And all of Scotland cheered and laughed. Okay? We were over the moon. Hey, yeah, great. England are going to miss penalties. And yeah. Anyway, you get the idea. What sort of change would be required for someone like me, yeah, Scott, to support England? Impossible, right? Impossible. Now, I know some of you guys like to watch a bit of television. You like to watch the sort of TV programs where, like garden transformations or house transformations. You know, the Smiths bought this plot of land a year ago, and we're going to return in 6 months and see what they've done. And what turns out, the guy turns up at the end of the program, and what does the house look like? Usually something like this. Okay? There's been an impossible change. I want to speak to you this morning about an impossible change. A change that is more impossible on the face of it than me becoming an England fan, or a garden or house rescue. An impossible change that each one of us needs. An impossible change that we need because of the danger of living without it. One day, all of us will die. And the Bible says that all of us will have to give an account of the way that we've lived our life before God. For many people, that will be an horrific day. Everything the Bible says on that day will be uncovered. All the skeletons in our closet will be flung wide open. God will expose everything. And the outcome of that day will decide where we spend eternity. There's only one way to be ready for that day. And it's to do with this impossible change. Look at verse 9 of Romans 10. It's the only verse I want to really major on this morning. It says this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why is that an impossible change? What's that got to do with us? Well, you may be sitting thinking, I don't like change. Or maybe you're sitting thinking, I don't need to change. And I don't want to change. Well, if we have time to look at the book of Romans in a little bit more detail this morning. The book of Romans is great at highlighting a problem that all of us have. We're not good enough for God. We've sinned. We've fallen short of his standards. We've not even lived up to our own standards. We don't live for God as we should. He's created us. We're accountable to him. We should live for him, and we don't. We live our own way. We do our own thing. And while we might think that to reject God is harmless, there is no more dangerous path to walk than to reject God. And what's more, Romans is clear that we cannot fix ourselves. We're in a hopeless and desperate situation. But Paul says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's a word that we use for this change. It's called conversion. To be converted. The Lord Jesus loves to change it. He loves to fix this problem we have with sin. He loves to fix the relationship with God that we've broken and ruined. And he does it by dying for our sins in our place on the cross. And so God brings about an impossible change that we all need. Only God can do this. And he makes us part of his family. He makes us fit for him. He changes us so that we stop living for ourselves and start being followers of Jesus, living for him. And our lives are transformed. And what I want to do this morning is just tell you three amazing things about this conversion, this impossible change that we all need from this verse. I'm just going to take the phrases that make up this verse in reverse order, just to show you what I'm talking about, okay? So what's conversion? What is this change? First of all, it's about us being saved. Look at how Romans 10 verse 9 ends, okay? If you declare with your mouth and believe in your heart, that you will be saved. Conversion's about us being saved. Saved from what exactly? From what our sin deserves. The Lord Jesus one day told a story about two men, back in Luke 16, you can look it up later. He told a parable about two men, a rich man and a poor man. One of these men ended up in heaven, which is a place where those who have been converted go. The other man ends up in hell, the place of God's punishment. Jesus said that the well-off man who ended up in hell was in constant agony, constant pain, loneliness, punishment. And the Lord Jesus says that that place is not a place you can be transferred out of. I know that in some places you might hear that when you die there's some kind of waiting room and you can maybe earn your way out of it. That is nonsense. That is not what the Bible says. Now I know this is hard to hear. You might not believe in hell. You might think it's a scare story by Christians to kind of scare people into following God. You may not even want to believe in a God who has this kind of idea and concept of hell. But why did the Lord Jesus come? It wasn't just to spread around a little bit of peace and love and happiness like he's a 1960s hippie. When he came, He was told people again and again, hey, you've got to repent and believe the good news. You've got to turn. You've got to change. There's got to be a conversion. He says that he's come to seek and to save. You may have heard people say, well, hey, I want to go to hell because all my friends are going to be there. It's going to be a great party. Well, that's not what the Lord Jesus describes it like. He says it's a place of great suffering. And he does not want people to go there. And he says that only those who have been changed and converted by and through and in the Lord Jesus will be rescued from that place. At the cross, the Lord Jesus, in his great mercy, took the punishment for it, even though he had never sinned. As he died on the cross at Calvary, all the punishment of hell was laid upon him, so that it need not be laid upon me or anyone else. Heaven is the place in the Bible described as the party. We need to be saved from the punishment that my sin, our sin, deserves. I'll tell you something else I'm going to be saved from. From death. The Bible promises that. Now again, you may be saying, are you telling me that, Dougie, that you're not going to die? Well, if the Lord Jesus returns before my heart stops pumping and my lungs stop working, then yes. But because he was raised from the dead, the Bible promises us that our death is not the end. If I were to drop down dead today, I'm sure Trisha would be very sad, but my soul would immediately go and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he returns, my body and soul are going to be reunited. And on that day, the Bible says, it promises that I'm going to be more alive on that day than I am standing in front of you here today. Think of that verse, Romans 10:9 again. Sometimes when I'm thinking about a Bible passage, I like to think, what is the reverse of this? What's the reverse of it? We'll look at it. It's something like this. If you don't confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and don't believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you won't be saved. Conversion means that we've been saved. And that is joyful. Conversion also means that we've got to trust Jesus personally. Look, again, think of that little middle phrase there. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. To be saved, there are things that we've got to believe. Here in this verse, it says that we've got to believe that God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. Now, I think that little phrase is a summary of lots of things that we would think of to do with Easter. Stuff about why the Lord Jesus died on the cross. That we're sinners. That we need to be forgiven. And that the Lord Jesus has been raised from the dead to prove that all that he said and done is true. If you grew up coming to church, or you grew up in a Christian family, you've probably heard lots of this stuff for years. But conversion happens when we trust it for ourselves personally. Think of it like this. I've got a car, here are my keys. I like to drive. It's not because I think Trisha's driving is there's anything wrong with it, but I just like to drive. And I know there's probably some other people who in their family, they like to drive as well. But if my life was as a car, then before I became a Christian, before I was converted, what was I doing? Well, I was saying that I'm driving, I'm in the hot seat, I've got the keys, and I'm setting the direction of my life. But when I start to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, I say to the Lord Jesus, you're in charge now. You take the keys. You set the direction. I trust you, Lord Jesus, with everything. Can I tell you about my conversion? About how I get saved? You might think that's a little bit weird. But I got converted. I became a follower of the Lord Jesus at something like a summer camp, a Christian holiday for young people. And there's a story in the Old Testament about a God contest, as I like to call it, a God contest. These were dark times for God's people in the Old Testament. They had rejected following and worshipping God. And they followed this guy, this so-called God, called Baal, who they thought made it rain and made their crops grow. So this man of God said one day, we're going to have a contest to find out who is the real God. We're all going to go up the top of this mountain. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to build a couple of altars, and we're going to sacrifice a couple of animals. And then we're going to pray. And you guys are going to go first. And then I'll go. And whoever's God sends fire down from heaven, that's the real God. That's who we're supposed to worship. And this man of God says, I'll tell you what, you guys go first. And there was hundreds of these prophets of Baal, the Bible says. And they start singing and dancing, whatever way, however they call upon their God. And it goes on for hours. And the man of God, after a few hours, starts to wind them up a bit because nothing has happened. There's no fire. And he says, maybe you need to shout a bit louder. Or maybe he's in the toilet. Maybe he's gone on holiday. If you shout a bit louder, then maybe he'll hear you. And it riles them up, and they shout louder, and they dance, and they start to cut themselves. And at tea time, this man of God says, stop. It's my turn. And he says, I tell you what, we'll make it interesting. Get buckets of water and soak my altar. And they soaked the altar so much that the water was dribbling off down the mountainside. And he prayed. And fire came from heaven. And I knew that was true. And that night, as an 11-year-old boy, I knew in my heart that I needed to follow the Lord Jesus. That if God sends fire from heaven, then he sends his son. And he comes and he goes to the cross to die in my place because I knew I was a sinner and I needed to be forgiven. And I did not want to go to hell. And I wanted eternal life. And that night I believed that God raised Jesus from the dead. God loves impossible change. Now, in case you zoned out and I wasn't clear, and that's a good chance of that, have you trusted Jesus personally? Do you believe he died and rose again for you? Now you might be thinking, well, how do I do that? How do I do it? I want to do it, but I don't know how. Well, perhaps you'll pray this prayer with me. Just for a moment, you'll close your eyes and you'll say quietly to yourself this prayer that you want to become a follower of the Lord Jesus. Just repeat these words after me, quietly to yourself. Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I've not lived for you. I do not deserve to be saved from my sins. I do not deserve to be rescued from the punishment of death and hell. Please forgive me. I trust you died in my place at the cross and rose 3 days later. I'm giving you the keys to my life. Please change me. Amen. One more thing. This verse tells us about conversion. It's about being known as a Christian. Let me read the verse again. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's something that comes hand in hand with being a Christian, not just being saved and believing, but actually being known as a follower of Jesus. You're not trying to hide it. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to start every conversation with everyone you ever meet saying, "Hi, I'm Dougie, I'm a Christian." That would just be weird. But at the same time, you're not trying to hide it. It's taking ownership of it. When the Olympics were on, what happened when someone wins a medal? They grab a flag of their country. You know, when they go and stand in the podium and the gold medal gets put round their neck and the national anthem comes on, they're not going, "Stop the music." No, they're there and their eyes are filling up and they're, "Yeah, Team GB, woo!" That's what they're like. And part of our conversion is following the Lord Jesus openly, declaring that he's our Lord. And that should be more obvious to the people that we live, we work around, that we're followers of Jesus than our nationality, our hobbies, the team we support, whatever it is that we do. Think of the way the New Testament describes Christians, like stars shining. Or the Lord Jesus says we're to be like salt and light. What is it about those things? Well, they stand out. They stand out. Now, if you're a Christian here this morning, you might be thinking, "I know this, but how does all this apply to me?" Let me give you some ways to respond. If you're a Christian, if you trust Jesus personally, if you believe that God raised him from the dead and you know you're saved and you trust that you're saved, well, are you declaring openly that Jesus is Lord? One way that we do that is to be baptized. That is a clear way that we publicly declare to everyone in this local church and everyone who may come and see that service that I am a follower of the Lord Jesus. They want to confess Jesus as Lord. And actually, when we've had baptisms and I go down into the tank underneath me and I actually ask them, "Do you confess that Jesus is Lord?" And they say, "Yeah, I confess Jesus is Lord." Have you been baptized as a convert of the Lord Jesus? We'd love to do that in the coming days. Second thing is, are we different? Are we standing out as Christians where the Lord Jesus has put us? I'm not saying be arrogant, but I'm saying that our views, what drives us, our motivations, our loves, all those things are, those are different now that we are Christians. Are we shining like stars? Are we being like salt and light? Are we standing out, known as Christians? Or are we just blending in? Another thing. Back in 2017, when Berry Street Community Church kind of relaunched, what do we want to see happen? What do we still want to see happen? People declaring with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. People believing that God raised him from the dead. People being saved. That plan has not changed in my mind, nor any of the other elders. Things have taken surprising paths in the past 4 years. But this is one of the big things we want to see. We want to see people from this area come and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to pray about it. Everyone needs to be changed in this area. Whether they live in Berry Street West, Wellington Road, Clovelly Gardens, Ash Grove, Brendan Way, Crosswalk, Raglan School, Edmonton County Church Street, the people that work in Greg's, the shopkeepers, we want them to come and be converted to the Lord Jesus. How can they change? I can't change them. Neither can you. We've got to pray for them. in this section of the book of Romans, if you were to read the chapters around, you would see that Paul is desperate for his people, the Jews, to become Christians. He wants them to be converted. I'm praying over these coming weeks that I have more of a heart to see the people of this area get converted. It's the final thing we must do in light of this verse. We've got to keep opening our mouths and declaring that Jesus is Lord. I read there, listen to these verses, verse 14. How can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? Do you get the idea? We've got to open our mouths and tell the folks that we live with and live among that Jesus is Lord. That they need to be saved. Do you know the question I dreaded most growing up? It was on a Monday morning and my pals would say, "What did you do yesterday?" And I was embarrassed. I could answer that question 50 different ways without saying I was at church. At the time, I did not see it as perhaps the only way that my schoolmates would hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. I never had that kind of perspective. Who else were they going to hear about Jesus from? I was the only Christian that they knew. For all I know, I've been the only Christian they've ever met. And I bottled that time and time and time again, every Monday morning. For those of us who are Christians, why has the Lord Jesus put you in your family? Why has he put you in your house? Why has he put a church here? Why has he put you in your school or in your workplace? So that we can declare Jesus is Lord. So that we can tell people that God raised him from the dead. So that they can hear and be saved. You're not a Christian because you come to church, or because your parents maybe, or because you know some stuff about Jesus, or you think you're a good person. What is it to follow Jesus? If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, please, we pray for this area, that people in the coming weeks and months would come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would declare with their mouths that Jesus is Lord, that they would believe in their hearts that God raised them from the dead, you raised them from the dead, and they will be saved. Help us, Father, to keep opening our mouths, to speak to others, to not be scared to own the label Christian. And yes, when there's times of suffering, that we would count it joy that we suffered for his name. Father, we want to be salt and light in this community, this area. We want lives to be changed. Help us to make the most of these opportunities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.